Good morning and welcome. Welcome everybody that's here. You did so well, you sprung ahead because you're here. And all of those that are online, welcome because you're there and we're together. We're together in our hearts. We're together looking to the Lord. We're together with our ears open. We're together with expectation and anticipation. You know, there's something that's just really prophetic about today because of the time springing ahead, you know, and God's on the move. God is on the move, and we want to move as He moves. When He turns to the left, we're going to turn to the left. When He turns to the right, we're going to turn to the right. And things are moving. Things are happening, and it's an exciting time. And when I think about springing ahead, and I think about that advance, I think that, oh my golly, Lord, how you're causing your kingdom to advance in the earth today, how you're causing all the nations in the earth to know who you are in such a distinct and real way. And we are part of it. We're part of it because we're the body of Christ in the earth today. And that's just an exciting thing. It's exciting to be a part of it because there's life in it. There's life in it. You know, I wish that all of you that are here online could see all the banners on the wall because they speak so many things, so many truths of what God is saying. And over here on my right is a banner that we call the Tree of Life. And it's a tree and it's got all of these fruit and it's by the river of God. And as I was looking at that this morning, I was thinking, oh God, you are our life. That tree of life, that Jesus Christ is alive in us. And we are alive in Him. And this is an exciting day. And I want to share with you a scripture here in Psalm 24 out of the Passion. The very first verse says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And then it goes on, but I want to start at verse 6. It says, they will stand before the Lord, for they seek the pleasure of God's face. The God of Jacob pause in His presence. And I thought, wow. Wow, that describes our worship. Because we do. We are a people that seek His face. That seek the beauty of His holiness. That seek to glorify Him and exalt Him and magnify Him. Why? Because He's worthy. Why? Because He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why? Because He's the great God above all other gods. Why? Because there are no other gods. Every other god is an idol, is wooden, and has no lips that move or ears that hear or mouth that talks. But our God lives. He's the living God. He is the living God, and He is a good, good God, and He's pouring out His love, and He's pouring out His mercy, because that is who He is. And when we see Him face to face, when we lift up His name, especially when we come together in this corporate place, and we lift up His name, He's enthroned in our presence, and we are in His presence, and we mingle together, you know, one on one, face to face. Face to face. This is the place that we're going to come into real shortly here when we start worship. We're going to come in that place of encounter where we magnify and lift Him up. And so what do we do? Psalm 24 tells us what to do here. If we're going to pause in His presence and have this face-to-face meeting, it says, so wake up. Wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your heads, you doorways of eternity. Welcome the King of Glory, for He is about to come. Listen to this. He's about to come through you, through me, through us. The King of Glory, as we open our hearts and we open our gateways and we say, King of Glory, come. And He comes through us. He manifests through us. He lives through us as we live through Him. I mean, this is just amazing. And then verse 8 says, you ask, who is the King of Glory? Yahweh, armed and ready for battle. Yahweh, invincible in every way. So wake up, you living gateways, and rejoice and fling wide, you eternal doors. Here he comes. The King of Glory is ready to come in. As I was praying this morning before all of this began, you know, I was praying, I was just asking the Lord, show me what's going on in the heavens over us. Just show me. And what I saw was waves in the distance. There were waves in the distance, and they were waves of his presence. And what I saw was, as we entered into worship, that these waves of his presence would come through the sanctuary, come through our hearts, come through us as a body of believers, and we would meet with the Lord face to face. What a holy place. What an awesome place that Almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who said, let there be light, that he loves us so much, has called us by name, has given us the blood of Jesus so that we can meet with him face to face, face to face. This is a personal relationship. This is a real relationship. This is not something that's fake. It's not something that is made up, but there's an exchange of life. We receive his life into us. There's an impartation as he comes in that place of face-to-face, that there's an impartation of his beauty and his goodness and his glory and his strength and his courage. And in that, all we can do say is, holy is our God. Let his kingdom come. Let his will be done. Let it go out into the city and out into the neighborhoods and into the communities, because we are those living gateways. We really are. We are. It's not a figure of speech. It is the truth. We are living gateways, and we open our hearts. So we say to you now, Lord, that we open our hearts wide, and even wider still, as we come together, shoulder to shoulder, linked together, as your body right here in this city, as your body, Lord God, extended throughout the region and throughout the nation. We open our hearts and we say, King of Glory, come in. Come in, King of Glory. Come in and do what you would do, what only you can do, because we glorify your name and we lift you on high. You are high and lifted up, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you are beautiful, and we worship you. We worship you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so I'm going to explain it a little bit what we're doing today. We are having our guest worship leader, Steve Swanson, who is so gracious to let us play his music. And we are so excited to do that because, you know, he's such a prophetic worship leader that we can just blend right in with his sound, because it's the DNA of our sound. And today, Amy is at home with her family and with Ron. And so we just pray blessing upon them. We continue to pray favor of God upon Ron and healing in his body in the name of Jesus. But we're going to step into that place. Oh, yeah, and it's Ron's birthday, too. Happy birthday, Ron. Happy birthday, Ron. We send you our love. We send you our love, Ron, because we do love you. He's one of our premier guitarist here, in case you don't know who he is. He plays the bass. He's Amy's husband, and Amy's our worship leader, and she's a pastor here in this church. And so we're glad that they're there, but we're also sad they're not here. You know, at the same time, there's kind of this little mixture thing, but in the spirit, in the place of worship, we connect again as one. And so enter right in, even though you don't see worship leaders and musicians up on the platform. We have opened our hearts, the gates, and said, King of Glory, we worship you and we welcome you. So as one, we enter into the sound of worship.
what God's doing. Whoa. I want to be in the middle of what you're doing, God. And I want to see your Holy Spirit moving, moving, moving. I want to change the atmosphere around me. I want to see your holy fire consuming, soothing. There's a groaning in my spirit to see your kingdom come, to see your power moving through the earth. Lord, let your will be done. Yeah. Lord, your will be done, right here on earth, Lord, as it is in heaven, as it is in heaven, as it is in heaven. Yeah, Jesus.
Good.
sing. Sing, O Zion, sing, for the Lord has delivered you. Dance, O Zion, dance. Dance, O Zion, dance. Dance, O Zion, dance, for the Lord has delivered you. Rejoice, O Zion, rejoice. Rejoice, O Zion, rejoice. Rejoice, O Zion, rejoice, for the Lord has delivered you.
You're the last.
your authority in all of heaven. I have the victory, Jesus. Hallelujah. And now my worship flows unto your holy throne, so that your name is known, Jesus. You're the Lamb of God who is worthy, the name above all names that is holy. You're the King of kings who is righteous, Jesus Christ. You're the Lamb of God who is worthy, the name above all names that is holy. You're the King of kings who is righteous, Jesus Christ.
Come before the glory of
stand on eagle's wings. Come and join the song the angels sing. Come into the heavenlies. Come and bow on bended knee. Come before the glory of the King. Sing glory, oh Lord.
vision of us lining up as the Lord's armies. And what I heard the Lord saying was, as you exalt my name, as you glorify my name, so I exalt you, so I glorify you, so you would be lifted up, raised up as an army of light, driving out darkness. No longer will you be a people that are staring darkness in the eyes, trying to fight it. But instead, you would be a people so glorified by my presence, so glorified by my name, that you would drive out darkness with your very speech, with your very actions, with your very love, that every aspect of you would be so drenched in my presence that no longer would any authority outside of my name be able to reign on earth, but instead you would be ones reigning as my sons and daughters here on earth, that your authority is driving out darkness. So lift up my holy name and see the way I lift up your prayers, to see the way I lift up blessings upon my people, see the way I lift up light, and darkness has no part in this. For you are my holy people, who I have lifted up as you lift and exalt my name.
Yes. Yes. Lift your hands right now and say, blessing, honor, and glory. Blessing, honor, and glory. Blessing and honor and glory. Blessing, honor, and glory unto you, Jesus, this morning. Give them a praise. Give them worship right now. Woo. Woo. Wow, 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 wow. Woo. Boy, wow. You know what just happened? God was enthroned by your praises. That's part of the priesthood. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Part of the priesthood, and you're going to see that he broke the old order. I just felt him saying that, you know, you don't need all the props you think you need to experience the glory, because worship is in the Spirit. And they that worship him in spirit and in truth are going to have a manifestation of the glory. And so as we worship and go deeper, when he's enthroned, that means when... I'm going to preach the message if I get going here. When he's enthroned, he's seated, that means all authority is released. All of his power is released. I believe we're going to move into times when in our worship, you're going to receive the miracle you're looking for, but our eyes will be off of ourselves and our situations. Our eyes will be totally on him. That's what I love when worship is about him, not about him, but to him. It's not about what he can do, but it is who he is. And so we're changing our order of worship. It's not about our circumstances. It's not about his power. All that will come, but it's about him. Yes. So all glory and honor and blessing and praise unto the King of glory. And when he is enthroned, the manifestation of the fullness of God will begin to manifest. And it says, in these temples... Yes. Oh, I love that. The train of his robe will fill these temples, not this external, these temples. So when we're worshiping him in spirit and truth, miracles are happening when our eyes are totally on him. That's what the worship that he's moving us into. He's broke the old order. And he's brought us into the new order, into the Holy of Holies, an encounter. And so worship is part of our priesthood ministry unto the Lord. And that's what we'll talk about this morning sometime. So let's give them another praise. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Well, you know, I just love when the Lord does something unique. We knew we were going to do the CDs this morning and give Amy and the team a break and a time for Amy to minister to her family and Ron. But in doing that this morning, the change of time messes us up. And those who came in from the far west side Accidents were galore. It detoured us all around. We could have turned around and gone home. They shut down M5. You got around M5. Then they shut down another one and get down to Grand River and 8 Mile, and someone hit a light pole and knocked that down, and you had to go through the restaurant and all that. Then you get in here and there's no heat in here. Because they go on home, but we didn't. You showed up. Time change, traffic change, you showed up. And I'm going to show up, and I'm going to just shit. We're going to get in the Word in just a minute. Woo! Oh, woo! I love when the Lord orchestrates something ahead of time, and then we come and experience it, and then He tells us what we experienced.
All right.
So we're going to experience a little more worship this morning. Steve Swanson's not going anywhere. He's here. He's on call. And we appreciate Steve and his worship and just directed toward the Lord. Just to remind you, in 3 weeks, we're going to be having Easter celebrating. It's going to be also, people are signing up for water baptism. I believe you're going to have an encounter with Jesus and understand why He said, be baptized, repent and be baptized. But you're going to understand that baptism doesn't save you. It's your believing in Jesus Christ that saves you. And as an evidence of that inward work, that change of life, you make a public confession. And so we're going to have on the platform, we'll have a pre-run on Palm Sunday so you can see what the baptismal looks like. But you're going to want to just identify with Christ, because we're putting on Christ. And you have to put on Christ, you have to die with Him. Amen. So that you can experience resurrection life. And so when we understand that we're making a public confession of an inward work, that we're putting on Christ, we're being put into Christ Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen?
It's because He's on the inside. And the Lord gave me the next series after Easter. I don't get this stuff, but I was walking just praying. The Lord says, when you come up out of the water, resurrection power, but your new creation. He says the next series is discovering new creation realities, who we are in Christ.
Amen.
And we may just be in that forever, because that's what we are in. We're going from glory to glory. And so we're just experiencing more glory, more creation realities, who we are. And I'm preaching, I'll get going here. When you get born again, your spirit man is what gets born again. Your spirit man, and you'll never be more holy and more righteous than you are when you're born again. That never changes in your inner man, but you have to renew your mind and crucify your flesh. You can't cast out the flesh. You have to crucify it. So your body and your mind have to go through renewal to line up with this new creation on the inside of us. So we're going to discover who we are in this new creation. Ooh, we're more than conquerors. Man, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Man, I'll tell you what, in the inside, I am holy even as He is holy. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am. And you can just, you want to read who you are? Just read Ephesians. Ephesians is just the book about who you are in Him. Every spiritual gift in heavenly places is already on the inside of you, waiting to explode on the outside. And when you get revelation of who you are on the inside of you, you'll start to walk in the authority and the power, resurrection power of Jesus. Amen? So resurrection power is where we're going. So you want to get baptized in water, make a public confession of what Jesus has done on the inside, you can sign up there out in the foyer on the information table. We need you to sign up. Give us the information. It's just going to be a good time. And Sunday celebration, Easter Sunday. Of course, we're going to celebrate every Sunday as Easter Sunday. Okay, and it's always good to see new people back. Good to see Lola back with us and praying for her and just blessing her. And good to see, especially, if you weren't here early when Arlene walked in. Okay, I mean, all those in a four-year just went like that, and so I just entered in and let loose a little bit. So Arlene, it's good to have you back. Hallelujah. It's good to have Michelle back, who's been on a little tour around and ministry to family. And boy, it's just good to see so many faces that coming back. If I miss you, I apologize, but God is moving. And so water baptism, next Sunday, Prophet Susie's going to be ministering, and so you want to be here, you don't want to miss that as we press in, and then just exciting things leading up to Easter. So invite your friends, invite your family, you know, especially if you're getting water baptized, invite your family so that they can hear the gospel. You want to leave a legacy, and the legacy you're going to leave is not natural things, it's what happens on the inside of you. And so you get to testify of Jesus Christ being your Lord and Savior, and get the gospel preached so that you have taken care of preaching it to them. If you can't preach it to them, bring them in here, we'll preach it to them. But they'll know it's you that's praying for them. So anything else? Okay, children, let's stretch our hands. And Father, we thank you for this next generation. Thank you that they're having an encounter with the Word and with your Holy Spirit. We thank you that the Word and the Spirit, Father, is capturing them, not only setting them free, but capturing them into their destiny. And Father, unveiling to them who they are in Christ and what their assignment is. And so we thank you. We thank you that right now you open the heavens, Father, even as they're ministered to by the Word and those, Father, in leadership. Thank you for this team right now that's being infused with fresh revelation of Jesus, that they're imparting, Father, what they're experiencing. And we thank you for an impartation right now into this team, into these children, into this next generation. And we declare it and we believe it. Bless them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I think we can start, but I don't know where we're going. Let's start with 1 Peter chapter 2. This is where we've been. This is where we're going. There's so much revelation in this scripture here as Peter tells us who we are. Just two scriptures here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Then we'll give kind of a summary going through Hebrews. I wish, you know, we could take time and go through chapters 8, 9, and 10. I hope you're reading Hebrews because it's a major scripture in the transition of the church. And I believe the church is in a reset right now. And he's taken us through Hebrews because Hebrews was taking us out of an old order. When God resets something, it's to take us out of an old order and bring us into a new order, a new encounter with him. Doesn't mean the old was bad. It just means it served its purpose. And now he's moving us on to more. And that's what all of our eternal life is going to be about. We can't exhaust getting to know God. I mean, if he's expanding the universe at the speed of light, what's eternity going to be like? One day is 1,000 years. What's eternity going to be like? On earth, 3 days passed, but I mean, on earth, 3,000 years passed, but only 3 days in God's economy. Yeah. What dimension are we going to be walking in with new glorified bodies? Right. Bodies like Philip got to experience in the translation, that he was there, and then he was transported, and he was preaching to the eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch. I mean, he was here and there. I mean, woo, what glorified body. Don't you want to see that? These glorified bodies that Jesus said he was our forerunner and was resurrected. When he came back and spoke to the disciples, the door was locked and you walked through the walls. Woo. Yeah. I mean, these bodies are in for a trip. Not just a rapture and getting to heaven, but man, we're going to learn how to walk in this new spiritual body. And now we get a dimension, a taste of it, of heaven right now here on earth. Amen. And so in 1 Peter chapter 2, Again, we'll just read a couple of verses. Verse 5, you also as living stones. He calls Jesus in verse 4, the living stone, which was rejected by man, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. This is Jesus. But you also are living stones. I want to tell you right now, I hope you're a living stone. Hope you're not a dead stone. You know, when you think of stones, you know, there's not much action in them. I hope you're not a dead stone. There's such thing as living stones.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Are being built. Notice what these living stones are doing. They're not completely built. They're not completely formed, but are being built up as a spiritual house. The key to all what we're moving in and tapping into God is the spirit man. Your spirit was dead, but now it's alive. He made your spirit alive, and now the real you is operating in the spirit realm and putting the spiritual things above natural things. That's the whole war that we're doing on right now. Because when you come out of the world, and the longer that it took you to get in to the kingdom of God and receive Jesus, the more baggage you brought in with you. The more you got familiar with operating in the natural realm, so it's harder for you to operate in the spiritual realm. One of the things that the Lord has shown me in these last few years is when people transition physically, die, and transition into heaven, believers, they start to experience some of heaven before they completely go. Yep. Yep. And even though hospice will tell you, well, it's 2 or 3 days, they don't really know. Sometimes the body fights so much to stay alive that it takes a transition, but they start to have more experiences on the other side than they have on this side. I've talked to people that start to see those that have gone on before them, and it's just as real as they're here. They start to have an encounter of angels or Jesus. They'll actually see Jesus. They say, well, I saw him come. My mother-in-law says, I see him coming across the field. We say, wow. See, your spirit man becomes alive, but the more that you have to reset your mind and renew your mind, the battle is really releasing the natural and walking in the spirit. The spirit is more real than your natural. It's more real than the seat you're sitting in. If your eyes could be open, there's more activity happening in this room than just the flags. So you are being built. You are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. So for a holy priesthood. So this is what we're studying in Hebrews. We're transitioning from the Aaronic priesthood, which was the natural with natural things, and it was a type and a shadow of the true heavenly. Oh, I thought we got a great illustration this morning. Nothing against worship and concert, but, you know, going to worship concerts and that. But in those, it becomes more concert that we watch and those on the platform perform. This pure worship, he's going to be the center. We're going to see this. In fact, it says, keep your place there, because I'm all over the place this morning. Psalm chapter 22. This scripture has just undone me. I hope it's undoing you. Verse 3, Psalm 22. Yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. He's talking about he is holy, and he is enthroned on the praises of his people. What enthrones him and empowers him in the spiritual dimension is our worship. Part of, and we're going to see it this morning, part of the priesthood ministry is not doing natural things, but it's spiritual things, and one of them is worship. It says in John chapter 4, they that worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. So the worship, the spiritual sacrifices we're going to offer up unto him are spiritual things. So to offer up spiritual sacrifices, we have to be a spiritual being. And so you are a spiritual house being built up to offer up worship unto him. And God says he is a spirit, so that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Your worship first starts out of worship in your inner man and worships God who is spirit. So it's spirit to spirit. That's why you get born again and he puts Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Because without Holy Spirit, you can't enter into the worship that's required of you as a believer. We get focus off of everything else, and the true worship is going to be focused on him only. That's why that last song, you know, unto the King, you are worthy. The king, all focus is going to be on the King. It's not going to be on what's going on the platform. It's not going to be on what's going on in the congregation. It's not going to be us thinking about all my problems. I'm here this morning to get prayer, or I'm here, we come in. It's all going to be on him. And in that midst of all being on him, he's going to be moved, enthroned in power, and you're going to start to experience the benefits of being in the kingdom. We're unlocking heaven so that heaven can invade earth. And when heaven invades earth, it first invades us. Yes. It invades us in our spirit man. Yes. Okay, let's go. It says, let's read it again. Did I read it? You are holy, yet you are holy. The you in there is capitalized, so it means Jesus is holy. Oh, you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. What enthrones God, where he's seated right now, is our praises. Yes. Now, I'm going to take you through this morning because this is powerful. Back in 1 Peter chapter 2. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, not physical sacrifices. That's the old order. The new order is the spiritual sacrifices. What are the spiritual sacrifices? We're going to talk about that this morning. Acceptable. So spiritual sacrifices are what is acceptable to God. Natural, you can do good things and bring it for the wrong reasons, but if all you're doing is doing the works for God instead of the works of God, it's a difference. So we're to bring spiritual sacrifices, and those he determines what are acceptable. You don't get to determine what you're bringing to God is. Well, I don't feel like worshiping him. I don't feel like opening my mouth and singing worship. They're too loud. They're too quiet. I'm doing my own thing. No. We're doing what is acceptable to him, and we're doing it jointly, corporately. Now, we'll get here in a minute to Hebrews. Spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So what's acceptable to God comes through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why it says, after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Because he's our mediator, he's gone before us, he's our forerunner. And he pierced the veil and went into the Holy of Holies. And one time, he's not going to do it. But forever and ever, he's our high priest. Yes. Making intercession for you and I. Forever and ever. He doesn't have to keep going and making another sacrifice. He's done it once and for all. His blood was enough. Yes. So then we move down to verse 9. But you are a chosen race. We sang that song this morning. Yep, yep. If you understand what race he's talking about, he's building a holy nation. Yes. Yes. Wow, I turn around, the words are up there. Wow, I didn't know they're that big. Woo! Okay. I can stand around and preach to you this way then, right? No. You are a chosen race. We're not talking about in the natural. He took away all distinctions in the natural and made you one new race in the new creation. Okay, I'll pull back on this one. It's not time, but you're going to find... No, it's not time. Okay. You are a chosen race. You're not going to be one when you get born again. You're transformed out of the kingdom or domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. A new family, a new citizenship, a new operation of how you operate in this new creation. Amen? So you're a chosen race, a royal, and that makes the distinction. Royal means kingly, a royal priesthood. So the two main functions of us being born again to operate in spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God has to do with priesthood and has to do with kingly ruling and reigning. And I'm going to show you this. It's not enough just to be doing the priestly ministry, but we also have all authority in heaven and earth. We did that in the first song. I was undone with each one of those songs. Appreciate Steve and Prophet Susie putting those together in that order. But if you listen to the words in there, it laid out not only the gospel, that we're a new nation is rising, but it told you, you know, what that new nation was. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. A holy nation, a people for God's own possession. There it is. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness. Without understanding this, you can't proclaim the gospel. He wants you to experience it. It's out of experience you proclaim it and you can impart it. If you're not experiencing this, you're just given information. Information does not set people free. It's an encounter. Yes. Holy Spirit enlightens us and we have an encounter. So let's go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Better get in Hebrews. We've gone through chapters 4. Let's start with chapter 4. Because this is where we start. Because I want to give you this sandwich effect. Because between chapter 4 and chapter 10, he tells you what this transition is from the old order to new order. But what does it look like? He gives us just a glimpse in chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest. So he starts to give us a glimpse. We not only have a high priest, but we have a great high priest. Yeah. Hebrews is all about better and more and excellent. So our covenant we're in is greater than the old covenant. The promises that we walk in are better than the old. Why do we want to stay in old promises when you got better ones? Why do we want to stay in old order when he says there's a more excellent order? And the excellent order is moving us out of natural into the spiritual. Because the natural is limited of what we can see, feel, touch, smell, and taste. But there's a sixth sense that comes in when you get born again. It's Holy Spirit. It's life in the Spirit. It's that sixth sense that has seven spirits, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles and healings, prophecy. You're operating in a new sense, a new dimension in the new order. Everybody understand this? You can operate in the old, and it's good. But who wants to operate in the old when there's a more excellent, a greater? So in chapter 4 here it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Why is Jesus called the great high priest? Because no high priest in the old order ever passed through the heavens. They only went into the physical tabernacle of Moses, which was a type and a shadow of what was to come of the heavenly. So he's great because he didn't stay in an earthly tabernacle, but he pierced through the heavenly tabernacle, went through the veil into the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
And the veil was rent,
yes,
saying the old order is done.
Amen.
Oh, woo, I get so excited reading Hebrews.
Yes.
Therefore, we have a great high priest who has passed, not going to pass, doesn't pass every year, who has passed one time.
Yes.
Through the heavenlies, the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So you, if you don't know who this is, he makes sure you know who it is. Jesus, the Son of God, is no longer on the earth. He's passed through the heavens, pierced the veil, and sat down. And when he got sat down, I believe he was enthroned. And when we do our priestly ministry, he's enthroned to bring heaven to earth. Part of our priestly ministry, and that first song was that, you know, we pray, thy kingdom come. That's priestly ministry, praying your kingdom come, your will be done. This is our primary prayer. And our primary relationship is our Father. In the Old Covenant, no one called him Father. He's only referred to in the Old Testament as God. They didn't have a revelation as God the Father. So no wonder they wanted to crucify Jesus, the people of Israel, because he now refers to him as my Father. How could he blaspheme like that? Woo! So when I pray, our Father, my Father, which art in heaven, that means I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I'm declaring right now.
Yes.
To the old order, it's blasphemy. You understand this? Oh, I'll tell you, when you start talking like this, it stirs up the demonic. You say, I talk like this, and man, all hell breaks open. Welcome to Jesus' world. Welcome to the world of Stephen and Paul. When they start like that, that's why they say, give me boldness. Pray for boldness that I can speak this radical way out there in the world, because it will stir up heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
Woo.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. What is your confession? That Jesus is the Son of God. For we do not have a high priest. What makes him great high priest? We don't have a natural high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one.
Yes.
Great high priest who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near to God with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now go to chapter 10. I gave you that sandwich because I'll sandwich it in. Between chapter 4 and chapter 10, he starts to tell you the difference between these two priesthoods. The tabernacle. The natural priesthood and the spiritual. And Jesus, you know why they were so mad at him? He told it because your order has ended. And it did end in 70 AD. He confirmed it when Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was shattered. They no longer offered sacrifice of animals anymore in that temple. They keep trying to build that temple. Jesus said, hey, the time of Gentiles is here. That temple won't be built because I'm building my temple, a spiritual house. And when I get that done, and all the nations have heard about the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom and heard about that, then I'll come back and I'll set up my kingdom on earth. But it's not going to happen until all nations hear the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Okay? So you're back in chapter 10. Let's start with verse 11. Every priest, and this is talking, you got to understand when you're reading through here, which priest is he talking about? Now he's talking about the earthly priesthood, Moses' priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices. That's the earthly. If you keep doing the same old thing, the same old way, you get the same old results. And them offering the sins could never really free them from the bondage of sin. It just reminded them that they were sinners. The law just reminds you how rotten you are. And no matter how hard you try, you can't make it any better. Those priesthoods would keep offering the same sacrifices day after day. Oh God, I'm so unworthy. Forgive me. So this is the priesthood in the natural. I hope your prayers aren't that way. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices. Well, we're to stand daily but not offer these kind of sacrifices. There's a shift. Which can never take away sins. This is why this covenant was inferior. The old covenant could never take away your sins. It could only cover them for a season. And so as you sinned again, man, all of a sudden it was exposed. But he, capital H, so the other high priest, but he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Woo! You talk about the rest of God. Hebrews 4 and 5 talk about the rest of God. Once you make Jesus Lord of your life, you enter into his rest. Yes. Amen. If you're still striving, you haven't entered into that rest.
Come on.
Because Jesus sat down when this one sacrifice was applied. It was himself. His body hung on the cross. His blood he took into the Holy of Holies and poured his blood on the mercy seat, ending the old order. You don't have to keep doing it day after day after day. The devil keeps beating you up with condemnation and guilt. That's not. In your spirit, man, you're as holy as you're ever going to be holy. Now, our mind has got to be renewed. But don't let him play with your mind because you're not. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. But the real you is what's operating out of your spirit, man. So he goes on to verse 12. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. What's he doing up there? He's waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. Yeah. Prophet Susie taught this in First Fruits, if you were here. He's already done everything he's going to do. Now it's up to us to enforce what he's done. Amen. He's not going to make his enemies a footstool. He sat down and the Father says, now I'll make your enemies a footstool for your feet. I, the Father, Holy Spirit, and now the body of Christ. When Jesus was in the earth, he got baptized. Remember, the skies were open. He was praying. The skies opened. Holy Spirit ascended like a dove. And the Father spoke. You had all three of them there on earth at the same time. You had Jesus, the Son, being baptized. You had Jesus, or Holy Spirit, coming down, filling Jesus. And you had the Father saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. When Jesus ascended into heaven, there's only now two down here on the earth. There's Holy Spirit, and there's the Father. He needs the third. So Jesus was the forerunner for us because the third person is the body of Christ. We're now executing what he's already paid the price for. We are the ones that are, what was that? That word keeps slipping me. Time I think of it. We are the ones, what's the word? For? No. The ones that we're enforcing. We're the enforcers of what he's already done. I don't know why that word enforce. I'm just going to memorize. Okay. Enforcing.
Yes.
We're the enforcers.
Yes.
See, the old high priest, you keep asking God to do something. If you're asking God to do something, you're in the old order. In the new order, God's already done it. Now he says, you go do it. You put the word of God in your mouth and you bind and you loose. Whatever you bind and loose. You don't have to go to a high priest and ask him to make intercession for you. That's what the new creation, understanding what my authority is. How I am to be the enforcer of this covenant in the earth.
Mm.
Oh, I love this part. And you know where that is? It was mentioned in Psalm 110. When he talks about, and he literally says, according to the order of Melchizedek, there's an enforcer coming in Jesus. And when Jesus ascended in heaven, the Father said, sit down. Now I'll give you the gift of Holy Spirit. You pour it out upon those in the upper room. And now them in the upper room and you and I will enforce and make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. That scripture of Psalm 110 is quoted more than any other psalm. And then Paul speaks of it. Peter speaks of it. Jesus spoke of that psalm. Why? Because we got enemies. But he's already done his part. He's finished his work. He conquered them. He defeated sin, death, applied the blood, was raised from the dead, and now all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And he says to us, you go therefore, you're the delegated authority in the earth. He restored back to Adam what Adam gave away in the garden. What God, Adam surrendered in the garden, Jesus gives it back to man on the earth. And who is that man? It's every believer. So when we go boldly, where are we seated? We're not seated on the earth anymore. We're seated with him in heavenly places. It's a spiritual warfare we're doing. You wrestle not against flesh and blood. Get out of that wrestling against flesh and blood. Against, you know, those that are our opposition. You'll never defeat them in the flesh. You beat it in the spirit when you cast down those. Verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified, separated. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart and on their mind, and I will write them, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there's no longer any offering for sin. Now here's a sandwich effect. Between that, he says, he's a high priest forever. Over and over again, I kept waking up. Forever. Forever, he's a high priest, the great high priest forever. And then we saw in chapter 6 that he's a forerunner for us into the Holy of Holies. In other words, he's showing us the way. But he also tells us what the priestly ministry is going to do. And then he says in verse 19, therefore, the sandwich of chapter 4, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter through the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Let me ask you, do you have confidence to move into the holy of holies, where God, who is holy, stand before him? If you don't, there's a way, and it's called the cross, the blood of Jesus. He's gone before you. He's rent the veil. If every time you have, I'll back off on that one too.
Speak it.
If you have to keep claiming the blood of Jesus over your situations, you're nullifying the power of the cross. They, in the Old Testament, had to take the blood and put it on the doorpost. In the New Testament, you don't have to do that. His blood cleanses you from all sin. Every time we go back to pleading the blood, We're nullifying what the blood has already done. I love the blood, but it set me free. It gives me access into the whole. I come boldly because of the blood of Jesus. Because I know I am holy, even as He's holy in my innermost being, my spirit man. It's going to shift how you pray. The old order always takes us back that, oh yeah, we got to plead the blood. The blood was already sacrificed, and it was already administered in the Holy of Holies for you. Okay. To enter the holy place by the blood of the Lamb, by a new and living way. It's a new and a living way. It's new. It's totally different. A new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate. Listen, let's consider, this is where I'm going this morning. This one's real important. This is going to make some of you online mad, and I don't care.
Come on.
Look what he puts this in the sacrifice. It's not a new thought. Forsake the assembling of yourself together. It's not a new thought. Look what he says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful, semicolon. So he's continuing the thought, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, comma, same thought, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let me say this, because we're going to go into this. The priesthood ministry of worship, and you cannot convince me that your worship by yourself in your home is as strong as corporate worship. I love the energy of coming in here. And it didn't matter we were having CDs, you engaged. I've watched online worship services, and I'll be real honest. Most worship services I run fast through because I can't feel the energy in my living room. There's some of them, yeah, it's there, the anointing's there. But the anointing isn't the same as when you're there. And there's power in unity. Yes. Notice, encouraging. I come in, I get encouraged to hear the worship. Yes. It encourages me. It strengthens me. Hallelujah. Let us consider how to stimulate. Yep. I want to tell you the greatest stimulation is being in the midst of God's people. Yes. Yes. And hearing them worshiping and praying. I'm going to tell you something's going to change in how we pray. Because if we go to prayer meetings like we always, they put people to sleep and no wonder they don't come back. I wouldn't come back to some prayer meetings. And I haven't come back. But I tell you, one prayer meeting I won't miss is with the pastor's prayer group. Because they bring heaven down. They don't go through all the nonsense to get to heaven and the courts of God. They start praying in the Spirit, and boom, we're there. And all of a sudden, we're encountering God. I come out of there. I'm so full and on fire. Ah!
Amen. Amen. Yes. Oh.
I can't wait till the next time we get back together. That's how prayer ought to be. When we encounter God and we're calling heaven down. We're experiencing the presence of God. You want more? That's what I experienced this morning. Stimulate. Gathering together because there's a stimulation in the spirit that you can't get in the natural. I'm sorry, online just doesn't stimulate me. There's good preaching out there that does stimulate me too. And there's worship that's good. But what I'm saying is there's a corporate assembly. So much more as you see the day. We're talking about we're in the last days. There should be more gathering together. There should be more assembling. Why? As we see the day approaching. So I want to talk to you about worship this morning. You didn't know that's where I was going, did you? Go to Hebrews chapter 13. This is where we left off last week. So all that was to recap. All that was to get you stirred up. And if you didn't get stirred up, I got stirred up. So thank you for stimulating me. See how that works? I got stimulated. Chapter 13, verse 15. Through him then, and the him, let me just help you. When you're going through and reading the Bible, when it's referring to God or Jesus or Holy Spirit, it will capitalize like him. Not all translations get it right, but the him here is capitalized. It's not a small h.
Right.
So we know it's talking about one of the Godhead. So they'll capitalize that so you know when it says he or they or whatever. But it says, through him then, let us continue. Everybody say continually.
Continually.
This is a spiritual. You can't do this in the natural.
Yeah.
It's impossible for you to do this in the natural. You'll wear yourself out. I can't go a long time doing this in the natural. That's why I think when we had the house of prayer, we realized we started off with 4-hour watches, and they, oh boy, they were brutal. But then we went down to 2 hours. 2 hours was a good limit that a team could carry for 2 hours. But you were exhausted when you got done with 2 hours, and you were thankful the new team came in and took over and took the baton and went the next 2 hours. There's time I can go by myself a long time, but I'm telling you, going all day, day and night. Wow. Continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Continually offer up a sacrifice. So we see that this is one of the spiritual sacrifices that God's talking about, that as a priest we're to offer up. If we're going to be a spiritual living house of God, a spiritual house, then we offer up spiritual sacrifices. Here he identifies as continually offering up a sacrifice of praise to God. That sounds like Psalm 22, verse 3. God is enthroned by the praises of his people.
Yes.
Continual. You want to change a mindset from the negative to the positive? Just praise God in all things. That's what Paul says. You get that? It doesn't matter what's going on. I just praise him. He's in control. Praise God. Praise him for all things and in all things. Amen? So continually praise him. And then it says, that is the fruit of your lips. Notice, you want to do it acceptably to God? You can't do it in your mind. I just praise him. I praise him in my heart. I just love God all my heart. No, the sacrifice of praise is it gets in your mouth. You say, well, I just like it silent. Not me. I got too many voices vying for my voice. And man, the louder I get in praising God, the less I hear of myself and the more I get woo on him. I love when we get words like this morning. It helped me just to focus on him. I mean, it gets me outside of everything else that's going on. I forgot about, you know, the accidents that were out there this morning. I forgot about losing that hour of sleep. I forgot about coming in here when it was cold. Now it's nice and toasty and all that. I forgot about all that because, man, it was centered on him. Woo! He'll take you outside of yourself and he'll bring you into an encounter with him. He'll bring you into that spirit dimension where all things are possible to God, to those that believe. So spiritual sacrifices. How are we doing? Okay, we're doing good. Let me take you through just a quick time here. Psalm chapter, let's start with 95. I love these five chapters in Psalms. Psalm 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100. Why? Because it tells you how to offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. We're not going to read them all. I just challenge you to go through them, but I'm going to give you just a little heads up. Verse 1 of 95, Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Here's another dimension of offering up the sacrifice of praise. Sing for joy. Sing for joy. Praising God ought to be a joyous thing, not a dirge. Okay. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. If you really knew what you were saved from and out of, you would be so joyful and you would shout unto God with a voice of triumph. See, the Lord wants to shut your mouth. If you can't praise Him with opening your lips and are unashamed, well, I just do it in my privacy of my home. Well, that's good. That's a start. But come out of the closet. Let's just read, okay? Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is great and a great King above all gods. Wow. Chapter 96. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim glad good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Tell of His glory among the nation, His wonderful deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Woo. That's how we're to come boldly into the throne room. Ascribe to Him. Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Fire goes before Him and burns up His adversaries around about. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, the whole earth, the heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people have seen His glory. Chapter 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained the victory for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our Lord. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Bring forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord. And it gives all the instruments. Woo. Chapter 99. The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. I'm going to tell you something. Here's something else that broke. In Moses' tabernacle, the presence of God was enthroned between the cherubim. And remember in Hebrews it said, when he was talking about the holy place, and he says, we cannot yet talk about. Why? Because a cherubim's had to keep any unholiness from coming in the... But when Jesus came in, their work's done. That's what it says. He, in the Old Testament, was enthroned above the cherubims, let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise Your great and awesome name. Holy is He. The strength of the King loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Holy is He. Wow. And then chapter 100, one of famous psalms. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You enter the Holy of Holies with high praise. You enter into his courts, into his presence with high praise. That's why we continually praise him, because it keeps his presence at work in your life. We are his people. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For God, the Lord is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Now, we'll do this. We'll go to Revelation and see what's happening in heaven. Because after this transition, this is what's to carry on, what's going to be carried on in heaven around the throne. In fact, on the way there in Acts chapter 13, in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord, you can add, and fasted, but as they, how did they minister to the Lord? I believe it was praise and worship and thanksgiving. As they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, I thought it was a great example this morning. As we minister to the Lord, then the Holy Spirit said something. We can expect gifts to happen as we minister to the Lord. Not just prophecy, but we can expect miracles to happen.
Amen.
Now, if he was the forerunner for us into this new order of Melchizedek, he's also the forerunner for us into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God, and that's why Ephesians says, and you have been seated with him. So he went, and this is our spiritual position, is with him. Now let's go to Revelation, and we'll try to close this out. Revelation chapter 5. I love this. We're talking about twofold, but there's many different ways of spiritual sacrifices, but the two main ones that are mentioned in Scripture are these two. Verse 8, remember in verse 6 it says, let's read verse 6. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Isn't that interesting? And he came and took the book out of the hand of him who sat on the throne. Verse 8 says this, listen very carefully. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, it doesn't say priest here. It's going to in a minute. But he tells you what the elders, who are our representative authority in government, when they hear, the sound of the angels crying, holy, holy, they fall. But anyhow, they fell down, and in one hand they have harps. Harps in Scripture are symbolic of worship and praise. David's tabernacle that's going to be restored had 24-hour worship with instruments and voices are singing. So harps, as priests, we have a ministry of worship. Worship the king. And we have bowls that are full of the incense. So that's the prayers. So our primary ministry is prayers, making intercession for those that cannot make intercession for themselves, standing in the gap, setting the captives free, binding and loosening and enforcing. That's what prayers are to do. They're enforced what God's already done. So we're seated with him. We get our marching orders from the throne of God, not from down here. We don't get it from people given needs. If you have a need, bring it here and the prayer team will pray. That's the old order. And God in his goodness answers it. But his new order is that you go before the throne. He gives you the command, and you execute it. You bind that. You take authority over that in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 10, when they came back, they were rejoicing that what? The demons were even subject to his name. He says, don't rejoice at that, but rejoice that your names are intertwined with mine. But all authority in heaven and earth I have given to you. You already have all authority. If you're in Christ, all authority is in you. Because Christ is in you, and all authority has been given to him. And now he's in you, and he's given you authority. So prayers are executing the priesthood of God. But look at what else. This is so good. Because, and they sang a new song. So they're showing you how they executed this priesthood. They sang a new song. Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with the blood made from every tribe and every tongue and every people and nation. You hear that, nation? You made them to be a kingdom of priests. So he tells us first what a priest does. Then he tells us his primary job when he went to heaven was to make a kingdom of priests. You and I are that kingdom. We have kingly authority in our prayers and our worship. Keeps him enthroned and active in our ministry. Oh, I love it. You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. I love that. And then go to chapter 19. I'll give you one more, because everything in between in Revelations is talking about this priestly ministry. Chapter 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of great multitude in heaven saying... I heard a loud voice in heaven. If you have problem with things being loud, you're going to have problem with heaven. They're not going to pass out at heaven's gates earplugs. He'll heal your hearing. But with a loud voice, a great, not a little multitude, so it talks about corporate, a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. That sounds like what we did this morning. God was enthroned. He's enthroned by this activity. This is what's happening at the throne of God right now. This is what you're going to do when you get to heaven. Some people think, man, I'm going to have a nice... Well, I won't go there neither. A nice house with picket white fences and, you know, pretty flowers. If you're waiting for him to build your mansion to go, the mansion he's talking about is a spiritual dimension where there's no limitations. Amen. He's not going to lock you up in heaven. You're going to rule and reign with him forever. This priesthood is forever. And he went as a forerunner to show us what it's like in heaven. So here he shows us. And that says, because, verse 2, his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you his bondservants who fear him, the small and the great. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. I want to tell you, that's going to happen in earth before the rapture. There's going to be a sound of this kind of worship. This is where we're going. He went and showed us a picture of how it's going to end. But between them, He's given us the power and authority to enforce as spiritual priest, yes, a royal priesthood, yes, as kings. Yes, amen. He's empowered us. Yes. He's deputized us, yes, with the same authority that he has. He broke the curse of sin. He defeated death and sin and hell. And ascended in heaven and sat down. And the Father said, sit until I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. Now I will, and Holy Spirit and the body on the earth will pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The enforcers in the earth are not the political, the economic. It's a spiritual church rising up. That's why the devil wants to shut the church and the voice of the church down. But it's too late. There's too many that have come out. Too many that have said, no, let it be done unto us as you have spoken.
Yes.
Wow. Wow, 12 o'clock, right on the button. If I was really bold, I'd take you back into worship. Let you experience God enthroned. I'll get over here. This side's excited. I see. Yeah. Okay, this one's getting on. Woo, woo, woo. Okay. Stephen. Stephen, you got those two songs? Okay, wait. Let's go to the last one, Steve. Let's go to the last one. He's our king. And what I want you to do, get your eyes off of your circumstances. Don't be looking around. Don't try to figure out what's happening, what's going on. Get your eyes on the King. And in that, as he's enthroned, you don't even have to think about receiving anything. Just give him the glory and the honor. Let him do what he does best. He's a miracle worker. Amen. Give yourself over. So, Father, we thank you that this last, Father, few moments, we'll just give ourselves over. And we thank you that as we enthrone you and given glory and honor unto you as King of Glory, we thank you that you inhabit. You're enthroned by the praises of your people. And so we thank you that it opens up, Father, heaven, so that you can manifest your fullness. So we thank you. Are we there yet? If we're there, go ahead. Go ahead. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo!
Ascend on eagle's wings. Come and join the song the angels sing. Come into the heavenlies. Come and bow on bended knee. Come before the glory. Thank you. join the song the angels sing. Glory, oh glory,
glory to God. Thank you, thank you. Now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you seal all that you did and all that you are doing and all that you're about to do. That, Father, if there be anyone who has not received Jesus as Lord of their life, we thank you that you said today is the day of salvation. And that if they believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So we thank you, Father. Then you start thanking them. If you believe in your heart, you confess Jesus is Lord. Begin to thank him for delivering and setting you free. Thank you for the new creation. By faith, you're saved through faith. By grace, you're saved through faith. So we thank you for the grace. And now, Father, we thank you, grace, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You said if we ask, believe that we receive, you won't give us something other than what we ask. So we believe for the baptism of Holy Spirit and fire. I receive. Let's say I receive. Jesus is Lord of my life. Thank you for setting me free. Saving me from all my sins. I receive. I thank you I'm born again. By the blood of the Lamb. I thank you for the new order of priestly priesthood after Melchizedek. I follow my forerunner in this new walk, this new life. I ask to be filled, and I receive the baptism of Holy Spirit. And the baptism of fire. I receive it in Jesus' name. Oh, stir up. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In this new order, as we enthrone you, signs and wonders and miracles are our portion, our bread. We receive right now. As these bodies we present to you a living sacrifice. We're containers of Holy Spirit. We're being built into a living house that offer up sacrifices of praise and worship. So thank you right now. Thank you for a better covenant, better promises, a more excellent way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give them praise. Well, greet two or three people. If you're someone you don't know, greet them in Jesus' name. Sign up if you're interested in water baptism. We'll be contacting you in the next couple of weeks. You can sign up on the...